This morning, I feel from the Lord, I want to talk to you about a call to go to a deeper place. A call to go to a deeper place. I want you to go with me to the book of Luke, chapter 5. Luke, chapter 5, we're going to start at verse 2. And Jesus saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down thy net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Let's pray this morning. Father, I truly believe in my heart that this is your word for us this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would help me to convey it with your heart, God. God, just in places where, Lord, I struggle, Lord, in speaking, God, I pray that you would just come, Lord, you would anoint me, help me to speak with your mind, help me to speak with your heart, and Lord, help us to hear something that's in your heart today, and we pray it in Jesus' name, amen, amen. In prayer, seeking the Lord for the word for this morning service, I really sensed the Lord begin to draw me to this story. So as I was reading through this story, I really began to sense a stirring in my heart in verse 4, something the Lord was speaking from verse 4. So I want you to look with me at verse 4 again. Now, when Jesus had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. So let's just stop there. The Lord tells to Peter, he says, Peter, let's launch out into the deep. And beloved, I believe the Lord's call to each one of us today is that he wants to take us into deeper places. That it's really in his heart to take us in deeper places. And I just want to say that for each one of us, I really don't know what that entails. For some of us, it may be a deeper place of intimacy. It may be a deeper place of relationship with the Lord. For others, it may be a deeper place of transformation. For others, it may be a deeper place of faith, a deeper place of rest. For each one of us, I don't know what it entails, but I do believe this with all my heart. I believe before this message is over, many of you are going to feel a stirring in your heart to go to a deeper place with the Lord. Now, I want to look at a few examples of people in the Gospels who heard a call to their heart to go deeper. Now, first, I want to look at someone who heard a call from the Lord to go to a deeper place of intimacy with him. I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 8. Go over a few chapters. Luke chapter 8. I'm going to start with verse 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. So here we have the beautiful story of a woman that has an incurable disease. And she goes to Jesus and she touches Jesus. And suddenly she's made whole. She's healed. That somewhere in her life, she heard about the compassion of Jesus. She heard about the power of Jesus. And a living faith came into her heart that said, if I can just touch him, I'll be made whole. And so she comes to Jesus and she touches Jesus and she receives that miracle that she so desperately needed. And I really feel from the Lord to say that the faith to believe that Jesus can meet our needs is a precious faith to the Lord. That a faith to truly believe that Jesus can come and he can intervene in the problems of our life and in the difficulties of life, and he can be the one who makes the difference, that is a precious faith in the heart of the Lord. That when we kneel before the Lord in humble prayer, really believing that Jesus can come and he can make the change, he can make the way, he can make the difference. When the Lord sees that in the heart, it is a precious faith to the Lord. But I don't want to stop here because there's something else in this story the Lord wants us to see. I want you to go with me to verse 48. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. So the Lord turns and he speaks to her and he says, daughter, be of good comfort. And what I want us to see about this and understand about this is the word that Jesus uses for daughter is a very intimate word. It means my most beloved daughter. It means my most precious daughter. It's a term that you use with someone when you have a very special place in their heart and they have a special place for you in their heart. It's a word, it's a term that you use only when you have a very intimate place in someone's heart. And what Jesus is doing here is he's revealing to her that he desires to share a very intimate place with her in her heart. And beloved, this is what I want us to understand. When you really look at the heart of what's going on here, Jesus is calling her to go beyond the hem of his garment. She came with a faith believing that if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And that was a precious faith to Jesus. But when Jesus sees her faith, sees his precious faith, he says, now I want to take you beyond the hem of my garment. See, what Jesus is saying here is this. This faith to believe that I can make the difference in the problems of your life is a precious faith. But yet there is a deeper place to be shared with me, and that's a place of genuine intimacy. Don't let this precious faith that brought you to the hem of my garment stop at the hem of my garment. But let it take you beyond my hem. Let it take you to my heart. That's what he's saying. You know, so many Christians live the entirety of their lives at the hem of his garment. That they only know Jesus as their need-meter. That of their need-meter. That's the whole realm of their walk with Christ. The entirety of their prayer life is just going to Jesus with their needs. That is pretty much their prayer life. Jesus, I have a need. Jesus, I bow before you. Will you meet my need? And that's pretty much their whole prayer life with God. And I just want to say this. I'm not saying that in a belittling way because this is a precious faith. When you really believe he can intervene and make a difference, it is a precious faith in your life. But here's what the Lord is saying. I want to carry you to a place that's deeper than just knowing me as someone who meets your needs. I want to take you to that place where you can truly hear my heart for yourself. I want to take you to that place where you can lay your head on my breast and truly hear the things that make my heart beat. I want to take you to that place of prayer where you can hear the intimate things that I want to speak to you from my heart. I don't want you to live the entirety of your Christian life at the hem of my garment, even though it's a beautiful place. There is a deeper place than the hem of my garment, and it's knowing my heart. It's knowing my voice intimately in your life. It's a very intimate place with the Lord, and it is a very real place with the Lord. Beloved, this morning God is calling people to a deeper place. He's calling you past the hem of his garment and to so intimately know his heart. Amen. Well, someone would say, well, Pastor Tim, I sense that this is me. I already sense a stirring in my heart from the word of the Lord. I sense this is me. God is stirring my heart even now to go to a deeper place of intimacy with him. But how do I get there? God says to you this morning, it's not for you to get there. It's for you to hear my call and rise up in faith, simply believing that if I'm calling you to a deeper place, I can bring you there. Your place is just to respond in place. Your part is to hear the call. I want a more intimate walk with you. And to rise up in faith, simply saying, if God is drawing my heart, then he's able to lead me there. Amen. Now let's look at someone who received the call to go to a deeper place of trust and rest in the Lord. Would you go with me to Matthew chapter 14? Look with me at verse 23. I'm going to read through verse 29. It says, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So here's another powerful story in the Gospels. Jesus is in walking upon the water. At this time, Peter is in a ship. And it seems to be a very violent storm. And he's very fearful at this time. And yet he sees Jesus walking so triumphant over the thing that is threatening to consume him. That Peter gets a revelation, you know, the things in my life that threaten to drown me, that could consume me. Jesus walks so triumphantly over. And something comes into Peter's heart and he says, Jesus, I want to walk with you in this place of triumph. And Jesus says to him, come. And Peter begins to walk on the water. And let me say, I truly believe with all my heart, this isn't just a call in the life of Peter. At one time or another, every believer who desires to see the excellency of Christ's power in their life has to hear the call to walk on the water. It's a call to every believer that really wants to see God's power move in their life and God do something in their life that only God can do. And everyone who has that kind of hunger at one time in their life hears Jesus tell them to get out and walk on the water. You see, water represents something. It represents strengthless places. It represents those places we know that no matter how hard I try in my own strength, I'm going to sink every time. Now understand, it's in these places where we have to confront the fear of failure with faith. Now capture that. It's in these places where we have to confront our fear of failure with faith. Often God begins to call us to walk in places where we have already sunk. Where we've sunk in our pride. Where we've sunk in our anger. Where we've sunk in our bitterness. Where we've sunk in our fear. Where we've sunk in our selfishness. Where we've sunk in our self-reliance, where we've sunk in our strengthlessness, and the thought of our failure is so painfully etched in our minds. But then we hear Christ clearly calling to our hearts not to walk in these strengthless places in our own might and trust, but to begin to get out and walk in his humility and his strength. Beloved, I believe with all my heart the Lord has already been speaking to someone about walking in victory over a place in your heart and life where all you have known is defeat. And now with this call, the fear of failure is something you are having to contend with. But the Lord is saying, I am calling you to a deeper place of trust. I am calling you to a deeper place of rest. Don't be afraid of these strengthless places. It is in the place of humility and reliance upon me that my grace will carry you. Get up and walk with me. Where are those places that no matter how hard we have tried, we have failed? And we've got up and repented and confessed and repented and confessed, and we walked for a few minutes and then we fell again. And now when these areas rise up in our life, what we do is we run in fear because we are afraid of failing again. Places where my temper has failed me, my anger has failed me, my lust has failed me, my bitterness has failed me, my selfishness has failed me, my strengthlessness has failed me. And now one more time I hear Jesus calling me to get out and walk upon it. And the stories and the memories of our failure are so etched on our minds, and the call, when we truly hear that call to our heart, let's walk. One more time, there's the fear of failure again. But the Lord is saying, I'm bringing you to a deeper place of trust and rest. I'm not calling you to walk with me in your pride and in your self-reliance and in the things that are in your heart. I'm calling you to walk in humility and reliance on me. And my strength will carry you. Amen. So does this mean we'll do it perfectly all the time? No, Peter had his sinking moments, but the Lord didn't let him be consumed in it. There may be times the Lord will have to pull us out of the water, but here's the truth that I found. Every time he does, there's just a little more humility in my heart and a greater measure of his strength in my life. Amen. So let's now ask the question. Well, did Peter ever get to the place where he could walk on the water and not sink? Did Peter ever get to the place where he was a bona fide water walker? Did he ever get to that place? The answer is he did. He finally got to the place because of the faithful working of Christ in his life where he could walk on the water and not sink. Well, Pastor Tim, can you show me that? Where's that at? Go with me to Acts chapter 12. Look with me at verse 1. Let me read through verse 6. Verse 1 says, now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of the unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarantines of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Let's just stop there. Beloved, Peter is in a place of execution. Peter knows any moment the command is going to be given and they're going to pull me out of the prison and they're going to place my head on a chopping block and they're going to chop it off and my life is over. Peter knows that any moment the command is going to be given, and just like his precious brother in the faith, James, he's going to end his life at Herod's chopping block. But yet the Bible tells us that in this place, Peter was sleeping between two guards. Beloved, this is what I want you to understand. He was sleeping between two guards. in the spiritual realm, if you could see in the spiritual realm, what was Peter doing? He was walking on the water. In other words, in a place where he should have been consumed by his fear, in a place where he should have been sinking in his fear, his heart was at rest. He was resting. He was walking on the water, and he was not sinking. And beloved, my point is simply this. The same God that worked so marvelously in Peter's life is working in your life. He is more than able to bring you into deeper places of trust and rest where once all we have known was our sinking failure. He's able. And if the Lord this morning is saying, yes, I'm calling you again to begin to walk in places where you have failed, and you're having to contend with that fear of failure, God is saying, listen, I am more than able to bring you to a place where you can walk on the water. Places where all you have known is sinking failure. I can work in your life, and I can bring you to places of absolute victory. Places of rest and trust. Amen. Let's look at one more. Let's look at someone who received the call to go to a deeper place of faith. Go with me to John chapter 11. Look with me at verse 28 and 29. And when Martha had so spoken to Jesus, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master cometh, and he calls for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto Jesus. So, beloved, here we have the story of Lazarus' death. He's buried in the tomb by now. And suddenly, Martha and Mary hear that Jesus is on his way, that he's coming. And Martha gets up and she leaves the house and she meets Jesus outside of town. And then after a very short discourse she has with Jesus, she turns around and she goes back to the house and she tells Mary, Mary, Jesus is calling for you. He's calling you to come. And so the question that I want to put before our hearts is this. So where is Mary? I believe she is in the place where she met with Jesus so often. The place where she knew him so intimately. Remember, Mary's place was with Jesus, was in her house, sitting at his feet, listening to his word. That was her place with Jesus. But now Jesus is calling her to come and meet him in another place. And that place is the place of faith. Mary, I'm not coming to your house now. Our times together, you're sitting at my feet, is a wonderful time, a beautiful time, but that's not where I'm coming now. I'm calling you out of that place for a moment. And where I'm calling you is to a place of faith. That's where I'm calling you. Listen, it's the place of faith. It's the place of not understanding everything that's going on when your world seems to be crashing around you. It's the place of having to trust Jesus even when he doesn't seem to be responding to your cry. It's the place of having to trust Jesus even though he doesn't seem to be coming to fix your problem and your crisis when you're calling for him. It is the deeper place of faith. You see, Mary and Martha are looking at Lazarus' death, and that's all they can see. All they know is my brother is dead, and if you had gotten here sooner, he would be alive. All they can see is he's dead. But listen, Jesus was seeing a bigger picture. There was a bigger picture, a much bigger picture than just the problem, than just the crisis. He was seeing the bigger picture. So let's look at the bigger picture Jesus is seeing. Look with me at verses 14 and 15. We're in John chapter 11, verse 14 and 15. Then said Jesus unto his disciples plainly, Lazarus is dead, And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent you may believe. So, beloved, this is all about strengthening faith. This is about causing the faith in the hearts of his people to grow. That's part of the bigger picture. Let's look at verse 40, John chapter 11, verse 40. Jesus said unto Martha, said I not unto you that if you would just believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? So this is about God's great glory being revealed in the earth. This is about people so marvelously having their eyes open to see Christ and his glory. That's what it's about. Look with me at verse 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Beloved, this is all about eternity. It's all about eternity. This is about someone seeing the heart of God and the compassion of God and the power of God and believing on him and going from life, from death to life. That's what it's all about. Understand, this is the bigger picture Jesus was seeing that Mary and Martha were not seeing. All they could see was their crisis. And I'm telling you, when crisis strike the life, sometimes that's all we can see. It's the problem. Beloved, this morning, I know there are people here facing things, trials, problems. Some of you may be even facing crisis. And this morning when I say maybe the Lord is calling someone to a deeper place of faith and trust, what I'm saying is this, whatever problems you're facing right now, trust that God sees the bigger picture. It's not that he's indifferent to what you're going through. It's not that he's not hearing your prayers. It's not that he's not hearing your cries. He's asking you, just trust that I'm working something that will turn out for my honor and glory. Just trust that I'm working something that's going to edify my church and my people. And just trust that what I'm working is something that has precious, priceless, eternal value. Let's go to a deeper place in your faith. A deeper place. Amen. So my question is, which one are you this morning? Is there someone here this morning who senses Jesus is calling you to go beyond the hem of his garment? To truly go to the deeper place of hearing his heart so intimately? Is there someone here who is sensing God is calling you to a deeper place of rest? To trust that even in your strengthless places, places where you have sunk before, you can walk with him if he's calling you to walk with him in these places. Is there someone here facing problems and difficulties and you sense God is calling you to a deeper place of faith, a deeper place of trust, because there is a bigger picture you're not seeing right now? Is there someone here who senses God is calling you to all of the above? If so, God says to you this morning, you don't have to take yourself into these deeper places. It is a work I do in the heart. Your part is just to hear the call and rise up in faith and trust that if God is calling me to this deeper place, he is more than able to bring me there. Beloved, God is calling us to a deeper place. Stand with me this morning.